So today is a very special day, just like Pastor said, it's Pentecost. It's not just any day, it's the day. I mean, from all of our days as Christians, we have the day of resurrection and then this day, period. This 50 days, penta means 50. 50 days after resurrection, after we were free from slavery in the spirit, and we became sons and daughters of God. Amen? Because before that, the only son of God was Jesus. And then after that, he said that he's the first among many. So that made us actually being, you know, part of the whole enchilada, like I call it. But then the day that his spirit came upon us, was a day exactly like this 2,000 years ago. So if there's one day that you have to be in church, it's today. Because the Lord is going to give us power. Can I have an amen? So I'm going to take you straight to the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 3 to 5. I'm going to read out of the NIV. And the Bible says, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days. How many days? 40 days. Remember that number. And he spoke about the kingdom of God. One occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised. Oh my God. Which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Close your eyes for a second. Father, thank you for the amazing opportunity, Lord, to share your word here and everywhere through those cameras. Bless us. Use me, Father. Anoint us with your Holy Ghost. Amen and amen. So I want to start talking about the star of the story, which is the Holy Spirit. So, hey, come on. So, when you start teaching or learning about something, you have to go to the beginning. Often people ask me, Pastor, I'm new. Why should I start reading the Bible? It says Genesis. I mean, do you read a book at the end of the book? You have to read it from the beginning, right? And Genesis is the most amazing book in the Bible. Because Genesis, it tells you the foundation for the entire Bible. So there is a law in theology called the law of first calling. What was the name of the law? First calling. Which means that every time the Bible speaks, says anything about something important or relevant, basically what it's telling you that after that, every time that you see that, it will depend on the first time that it was mentioned. For example, the Bible says in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. So the first thing that God introduces himself with is as a creator. And the next days and the next few times that we hear the name of God, it was God created and God created and God created. So God created the heavens and the earth. The Bible says in book of Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 that it says that the earth was void and there was no light. And then God said, let there be light. And there was light. But which light was he talking about? Because in reality, light came on the fourth day. 19 verses later. Because the Bible says that God created the moon and the sun to give us the day and the night. He created also the stars. And he gave us all to give us the seasons. So God created the light as we know it on the fourth day. So which light was he talking about? He was creating the speed of light. Oh, you didn't get that. Why the speed of light? Because God was about to perform the creation at the speed of light. The speed of light is 186,000 miles per second. I mean, you will not even see it. It just happens. Which means that every time that now somebody asks you, says, why God, I mean, that, how can you say that somebody created something so fast? Yes, because he did it at the speed of light. I'll explain that to you in the New Testament. The Bible says that Jesus was going to the house of the centurion. His servant was sick. Remember that? So the centurion said, don't come. I'm not worthy of you coming into my house. But send the word, and my servant shall be healed. And at that moment, Jesus said, be healed. And the Bible says, and instantly he was healed at the speed of light. I don't know who this is for, but I feel that there is a miracle for somebody this morning at the speed of light. You're gonna get that job at the speed of light. You're gonna get that healing at the speed of light. Your finances will change at the speed of light. I feel miracles happening this morning and wonders. And if you believe it, give God a, oh my God. So the next verse, chapter 1, verse 2, then we see the introduction of the Holy Ghost. And then he says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the what? The waters. So it tells you, the first thing that the Bible tells you about the Holy Ghost is that the Holy Ghost is not like the Father. The Father doesn't move. The Bible says that he is sitting on his throne. Why the Bible says that he's sitting on his throne? First and foremost, that is an anthropomorphism, which means andros, man, morpheme, image. It's an image of man. It's a way of God letting us know things that it would be impossible for us to understand. God doesn't move, and he doesn't need to move. First and foremost, God is a spirit. The spirits do not sit. If you take the Bible literally, then God is a bird. Because he said that he covered us with his wings. Come on, somebody. So what God is trying to tell us is that he doesn't move because God occupies the all. God is everything. God is not in the universe, because then you will make the universe bigger than God. The universe is inside of God. The planets are inside of God. The galaxies are inside of God. Earth and you are so he doesn't have to move. So the Spirit is God moving. It's God in action. So God speaks the word, and then the Holy Ghost moves at the speed of. So the Bible says that in, you know, that he moves, but he also says something interesting. He says that he moves upon the water. So every time that you see water, you will see the Holy Ghost. When you see the Holy Spirit, you will see it always moving upon the waters. This is so interesting. Because the next time that we see the Holy Spirit in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 7. And then we actually can not only see it as a spirit, but we can see it materialize in the form of a dove. Do you remember that the waters resided? Do you understand? So the Bible says that Noah sent a dove. And he came back with nothing the first time, because there's still water. But then the second time, the Bible says that he came with a piece of what? Olive. And olive is the representation of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So he brought that, first and foremost, because the olive tree, in order for you to see the olive has to be crushed, had to be pressed. This is the reason why Jesus went to Gethsemane. Did I say that right, Pastor Luis? Gethsemane. Gethsemane. I like it better in Spanish. It sounds better. So Gethsemane. By the way, 48 hours ago, I didn't speak English. I went to bed and said, God, give me English at the speed of light. That's it. Anyway, don't criticize me. Just pray for me. If I say something that you don't like, just pray for the man. Now listen. So the olive has to be crushed. Gethsemane literally means olive press. It is the place that they used to take the olives to be pressed down. When you go to a supermarket and you buy olive oil, you see that is olive oil. It says virgin, extra virgin, and extra, extra virgin. Well, there's one more that it has 3X, but I don't like to say that, because it will be like extra, extra, extra virgin, which is the first press. The first press is usually the oil that Jews used to anoint with. It's almost white. It's not actually yellow. It's not masola either, because you know with masola, no está sola. It's not Goya. Because if it's Goya, had to be good. Tiene que ser bueno. So it's not that. So Jesus, which is known as the olive tree, went to Gethsemane to be pressed, to be crushed. Why? Ask me why, please. I thought that you will never ask me why. Thank you for that. It's because he needed the most amount of anointing. He was going to be arrested a few hours later. He was going to put through a lot of pain. He was going to die, and he was going to raise from the dead. But what I want you to realize is that Jesus is the only person ever and will be the only person ever to raise himself from the dead. Other ones were raised by somebody. You pray and like Lazarus, but Jesus is the only human that raised himself from the dead. And for that, you need all the anointing that you can have. This is the reason why you go through so many problems. And I know that this word is for somebody this morning. I know that someone visiting us this morning have been going through a crush. And I'm here to tell you all the way from Miami, Florida, that you're just not being crushed. You have been anointed. There's a level of anointing that is coming upon you. And I feel that this morning, she came this morning. This word is for you. Because you're being crushed. Not once, not twice, but many times. And you've been asking God why. The reason is because you're being anointed. And I'm prophesying to you that starting today, you will never feel like you felt yesterday. This is a brand new day for you, in Jesus' name. Please forgive me if I stop like that in the middle of the service. I get like WhatsApps from God all the time. So I get the tutup. So when we see the Holy Spirit after Noah, it's in the Jordan River. Because before the Jordan River, the Bible says that the Spirit came and went. I mean, he just comes and goes. And the Spirit of God was upon Elijah or upon David. And he just stayed, but then it will go again. So the first time that we see the Holy Ghost to stay for a while was when Jesus was baptized at the Jordan River. You know more Bible than me. And Jesus, the Bible says that John, his cousin, used to baptize at the Jordan. So that's why he was called John the Baptist. But believe me, John the Baptist, he's not a Baptist. You will not get it yet, but you will get it one day. He was Pentecostal. Come on, somebody. I'm pretty sure you see, John was like Pastor Josiah. He was like the preacher of the moment. Thousands of people used to move around them. He dressed different than everybody else. And he liked lobster. Langostas. That's how you say it in Spanish. In English, it's a different story. Crickets, but in Spanish, it's langostas. Anyway, don't criticize me. Just pray for me. So John was baptizing us at the Jordan River, and Jesus came down. Jordan means descend. Look at the name. The Jordan, the name Jordan means descent. Because that was the place where the Holy Ghost was going to descend. So Jesus comes to the Jordan, and John was baptized at the moment. I have a huge imagination. I'm pretty sure that he just walked. Nobody knew Jesus. So, hola, buenos días, good morning. Well, no, he's Jewish, so he's good. Shalom. Shalom Alechem. Where you from? I'm from Nazareth. And you? I'm from Aguascalientes, Mexico. Are you visiting? Okay. Just like that. But then, look at this. Jesus went inside the water. And the Bible says that at that moment, John looked back and said, "This is the Lamb of God. This is the anointed one. This is the one that we've been waiting for and I've been preaching about." But I'll explain that to you. Remember that I told you that the Holy Ghost, the connection was the water? And he moves upon the water. Jesus and John, there's no proof that they ever met. Even though they're cousins, they never actually saw each other until that moment. Because Jesus, as soon as he was born, he was taken to Egypt. And then we don't know anything about Jesus from 12 until 30. And there's not a recollection that said, you know, and John and Jesus used to hang and all of that. No. How many of you have cousins that you have never met? If you're Latino, you have like a million of them. The only time that actually you can put Jesus and John in the same place is when Jesus was in his mother's womb and same as John. They were both pregnant. One was 3 months pregnant, the other one 6 months. And the Bible says that John was not moving. They thought that he was probably dead. So when Mary, the one carrying the Holy Spirit inside, the filling spirit Mary, shows up at the house, the Bible says that immediately John started jumping and moving. The connection was the water. Because inside the womb, they were living in water. So I'm pretty sure that as soon as Jesus came in into the water, he didn't say, "That is my cousin." But he felt the Holy Spirit that he felt when he was, "Oh yeah, I don't know who this is for. But I'm feeling that the Lord is going to move today just like in the Jordan River. And you shall be touched by the Holy Spirit." Come on, somebody. Qué palabra, my God. Now listen. I didn't say this in the 8 a.m. I'm going to say a couple of things that I didn't say in the 8 a.m. just because it's you. So it says that the Holy Spirit moves upon the water. Water is a prototype of the Word of God. This is the reason why as soon as God speaks, the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit moves immediately. You understand? Every time that you speak word, the Holy Spirit is moving upon that word. So remember from now on to choose wisely the words that are coming out of your mouth. Because if you start prophesizing to yourself, if you start declaring and decreeing, the Holy Spirit is going to start moving upon a word. Oh, I don't know who this is for. But I believe that from now on, you will speak words of truth. Words of blessings, and the Holy Spirit will move upon them. So, at that particular place, this is the only time that you will see in the Bible that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were in one place at the same time in an audio and visual way. Because they could hear God, they could see Jesus, and then they also could see the Holy Spirit. This is the only time. So, you remember the Bible says that the heavens opened. And God said, "This is my beloved son." So he introduces Jesus to everybody. To everybody. including Satan. I didn't say this in the first service, by the way. Satan never knew where Jesus was. The Bible says that right after that, the Holy Spirit took Jesus to the desert to be tempted. Jesus was never tempted until that moment. And the reason, can I tell you why? Ask me why again. I'm like, my boy. The reason why is because when you have so much power and so much anointing and so much purpose, sometimes you will be undiscovered until it's the right time. This word is for somebody this morning. Because sometimes we feel frustrated. Why him? Why not me? Why this one can do it and I'm like, oh my God. Why if I know that I have it? Why if I know that I have purpose? Why I have not overcome this? Why I don't have that? I'm telling you from the Lord, it is not your time, but God sent me all the way to Miami, Florida to tell you that the time has come, that today is the day that you should be introduced. Because the first thing that happens as soon as you're exposed is that you will be attacked. You will be So when you have already this Holy Spirit inside of you, let them come. Attack me. Send me cancer. Send me this. Send me that. Send me whatever you want to send me, because the power of God is upon me. And the one that is in me is more powerful than the one that is in the world. Can I have an amen on that? So for 3 years, Jesus started performing miracles. The only miracle that we know of Jesus before that moment was the miracle that many of us, when we used to be in the world, we wanted to perform. To change water into wine. Well, some of you probably will ask Corona or Modelo or something like that. Oh, six pack. It doesn't work like that. Don't even try, by the way. But the reason why Jesus performed that miracle was not because of Jesus. It was because of Mary. It was because of Mary. Mary is the one that accelerated the time. You remember Mary came and says, imagine a Latina mama. I have my imagination because I know American, it's the, my son, would you please? No. Mary says, can you do this? Says, woman, excuse me? Because he called her woman. Well, how do you call me? How you call me Jesus? You call me mama or you call me mom or no? Says, you know I cannot do it. It is not my time. Nobody knows what she said to him. Because the next Bible verse, Mary comes out of the room and says, do what he tells you to do. I imagine my mom. My mom was an expert in the chancleta. Do you know what chancleta is? My mom was like a professional chancleta thrower or something. I mean, I thought that there was like in the Olympics, there were like a chancleta contest or something. My mom had like a chancleta with a boomerang effect. So I'm imagining Maria, not Mary this time, Maria. And Jesus says, I cannot do it. Excuse me. Excuse me. Baking powder. You're not going to what? Do you think Jesus, ven para acá, Jesús María del Perpetuo Socorro de Nazaret. Because you know they call you like with the full name. Yeshua HaMashiach, blah, 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 son of David. Come over here. Are you going to tell me that I went through 9 months hiding? Are you going to tell me that I'm going to tell everybody that I'm carrying a son of the Holy Spirit and everybody's going to believe it? Your poor father. Then I have to just go on hiding for 2 years. And you're going to tell me you're not going to. I'm going to tell you that you will do it because you have the power to do it. You might not have the power now, but you can travel to time and you can take that miracle from the future now. And I'm ordering you to do it now. I'm just saying. The Bible is not saying that that's the way it happens. Please. But I'm thinking that something happened. But from that moment on, from the moment of the Jordan, Jesus was known as Jesus Christ. El Christos, or the Christos. Christos with a K means, it's not Jesus' last name, by the way. It means the anointed one, or the one that possesses or carries the anointing. That's what it means. The Bible says that Jesus one day was eating with the disciples. Says, what do they say? Who do they say that I am? Well, they say that you're one of the prophets. Maybe that you're Jeremiah, you're Elijah, whatever. And then he looked at Peter and says, Peter, who do you think I am? Not who do you say I am. Who do you think I am? And Peter says, I think that you are the Christos, the Son of the living God. And Jesus went like, oh my God. My God, what a revelation. Nobody could have revealed that to you but my Father that is upon heaven. Charlie, come over here. Since this is the English service, I don't call him Carlos. He's Charles. So this is my spiritual son. So think about Charles as Jesus. Jesus was the perfect man. But he was also the perfect God. He was both man and God. As a man, Jesus could not perform miracles. Because man cannot perform miracles. I don't perform miracles. Josiah cannot perform miracles. Nobody can perform miracles. Now, as soon as he was empowered. Say with me, empowered. Because that's what the Bible says. And you shall receive power. As soon as he was empowered. Then immediately the Christos, I'm the Christos, the anointing, the Holy Spirit comes upon him. So when they see Jesus, they might not see the Christos operating for Jesus. They just see Jesus because they're working as one. But what I'm trying to tell you is this. When Jesus dies, resurrected, goes to heaven, then in the epistles, which are not the wives or the apostles, you didn't get that joke either. So after the gospel, Jesus is known more as Christ Jesus than Jesus Christ. So now what's important is not the man, but the spirit that is upon the man. What am I trying to tell you? That now you have the same power that Jesus had. And it doesn't matter who you are, man or a woman, Latina or gringa, you have the same power as Jesus. Because if you have the Holy Spirit, oh, come on, somebody. Give it up. Is this good? Because otherwise you can stay for the Spanish one. It's even better. So Jesus said, this is what I read at the beginning. It is not time for you to leave. I want you to come back to Jerusalem. And in a few days, my Father is going to fulfill that promise. What we didn't read is that he took him down to Bethany. Did I say that right? Thank you. Betania. It sounds better in Spanish. Betania. Bethany. So he took them to Bethany. Why not Jerusalem? Because he takes them to Bethany and then he sends them back. He says, go back to Jerusalem. Oh, come on, Jesus. Really? I mean, we just walked for like 2 hours. Honestly, truly. He says, you take us all the way here? To just send us back? I mean, that's the way I think. He says, you know, time is of the essence, Jesus. And then, why not at the moment bless them. Why not at that moment give them the Holy Spirit? Why he took them to Bethany? Because in Bethany, remember Bethany? There was like three characters in the Bible that used to live in Bethany. Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. They used to live in Bethany. So why Jesus went to Bethany? Because Jesus, the first time that Jesus spoke about the resurrection was in Bethany. Do you remember Lazarus passed and then he came in 4 days after? And Martha said, man, if you were here, my son wouldn't have died. And then immediately Jesus said, Martha, I am the life and the resurrection. And then she goes, yes, Lord, I know that you will be resurrected at the end of time. She says, no, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. It's now. Let me prove it to you. Lazarus, come out. So he resurrected, but not Jesus. So what Jesus went to Bethany because Jesus wanted to just show himself to Martha and to Mary and said, remember that I told you that I was the resurrection and the life? I am the resurrection of the life. And you don't have to wait until the end of times to see the resurrection. Just like I'm telling you this morning that you don't have to wait until the end of times to see your marriage resurrected, your finances resurrected, your job resurrected, because there is resurrection in this place. Come on, somebody. So he goes, go back in a few days. When? You should not know the seasons and the time. That's what Jesus said. Just wait. Just go and wait. The reason why Jesus could not impart the Holy Spirit, and that's the name of my sermon today, is the Spirit of Unity. It's because they didn't have unity. They were not together. And God cannot perform that type of miracle among so many people if they're not joined as one. First and foremost, they were incomplete. And God cannot bless incompleteness. You know when you were supposed to give $100 and you give 90? I have to say it, Pastor, I'm sorry. You were told that you needed to give 10, not 9. You remember the lepros? Los leprosos, the lepers? He says, where's the other 9? I told 10, not 9. Not 1. So where's the other 9? That means that he was incomplete. God wants completeness, wholeness. There were only 11 apostles at the time. Because you remember that Judas a few days before? This is the international. So there were only 11. In those 10 days, that's when they found the number 12. And the Bible says that the number 12, it was chosen, and his name was Matthias. Matthias means God's gift or a gift from God. So he replaced Judas, which means betrayal. Pastor, what are you trying to tell me? After every betrayal, after every circumstance, there is a gift from God. So I don't know who this is for. But if you were betrayed, if you went through a really hard time, expect a gift from God in a few days. Can I have an amen? My God. Que palabra. So let me finish this. Was this good? So they go to Jerusalem. They go to a small place. It was not a room like this. Like an elevator. This morning we got into an elevator. Coming here, there were only 2 people. But then next floor, 2 more people. And then the next floor, 2 more people. And you start going back. Like suddenly, I was like this. They were Latinos. That's why. Buenos días. Buenos días. Si cabe, si, entra. No! It's this weight limit. and I'm already over the weight limit. It's for like 12 normal people. I'm not normal. But I can always lose weight. Ask the Lord to make you pretty. You can be fat, but you can still lose weight. But if you're ugly. Anyway. So there were 120. This is good, Pastor. This is good. I didn't say this one on the first service. The Bible says that there were 120. And it names some of the disciples by name. But it says, and Mary was there. It says, and the disciples and Mary was there. What? She had to mention Mary specifically. Because Mary was the only woman until that moment in time that was filled with the Holy Spirit. So she was witness of the true filling of the Holy Spirit. So when the actual Spirit came upon them, she went, this is it. This is it. This is the way it feels. This is the way it feels. Yes, He's here and He's here to stay.
Hey, thanks so much for watching our service at Freedom House OC. Don't forget to like and subscribe. It's always my honor, my wife's honor to bring you God's word. And I know that God's best is in your future. Make sure to share, click the bell icon so you're always up to date when new content comes out, because we want to be a blessing to your life. We want this channel to be a channel that feeds your future and leads you closer to God. Hey, we love you. God bless.